United States wins the gold medal here in Milan. 1 minute, 41 seconds into overtime.
This is all about our country right now. I love the USA. I love my teammates. It's unbelievable. The USA Hockey Brotherhood is so strong. And we have so much support from ex-players. I'm so proud to be American today.
This was such an incredible game to grind out. I mean, you're bleeding right through it just looking at you right now. Can you just talk about how difficult this gold medal was to win?
Unbelievable game by Hellebuck. He was our best player tonight by a mile. Unbelievable game. Unreal game by our team. That's just a ballsy, gutsy win. That's American hockey right there. That's a great Canadian team, but we're USA. We're so proud to be Americans. Tonight was all for the country.
What does this gold medal mean to USA Hockey?
It's everything. Like I said, the USA Hockey Brotherhood means so much. Look at these guys. We're such a team. We've been together for 2 weeks. We're such a team. The USA Hockey Brotherhood is so strong, and we're so proud to win for our country.
We're so strong. We're so strong. Proud day for America. Welcome back to Sunday Night InfoWars Live, the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. What a proud day to be American. God bless you, Mr. Hughes. Game-winning goal, euphoric moment. Could end up being an iconic moment in American history. I mean, a lot of people in the InfoWars audience understand the InfoWar that has been waged against us and the entire world for the most part about the conflict there, the ongoing Cold War has the threat of turning hot now, or you could say it's already turned hot there in Ukraine. But regardless, the 1980 miracle had a bunch of political propaganda around it. And we were in a Cold War with Russia. There's no doubt about it, which made the miracle on ice a significant moment in American history. The last time the men's hockey team won the gold medal, we were fighting the communists, at least in theory. We beat the communists. Russia was a communist nation at the time. A return of the gold medal in men's hockey to America, and we defeat the communists again. Poetic justice. The last time we won the gold, we defeated the communists, and today, 2026, almost 46 years, almost 50 years later, we defeat the communists again there in Canada. Special moment. Should give you goosebumps. We're going to talk about sports and hockey, my deep respect for the hockey players. I'm a Minnesota boy, so I grew up around hockey. I never played hockey, but I grew up around hockey, watching hockey, and I trained with some hockey players when I was in college. I have a deep respect for hockey, and I'm going to talk about hockey for a brief moment on the other side of the break. We got huge, huge wood to chop this Sunday evening regarding the NRSC, the U.S. Senate, the U.S. Supreme Court. We're going to get deep by the end of this two-hour stretch here, but I want to spend a little bit of moment acknowledging the USA men's hockey team and what could end up being an iconic moment, a pivotal moment in the turn of American history as President Trump and the MAGA America First movement tried to wrestle our nation and our republic back from our enemies. One of them just shy of, just north of the border there, right here close to my own home, Minnesota, the Canadians turning communists before our very eyes. We'll be talking about that and much more over the course of the 2 hours. You got me, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast. This is InfoWars Live, the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday night. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at TheologyOfStore.com, and thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there. Ah! Yeah!
Unveiling the truth they don't want you to see. This is the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Chris White, here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We're going to bring you a state rep on the other side of the next break, Walter Hudson, laying down some truth there in the state house. Democrats, Minnesota Democrats, and the entire immigration enforcement narrative propaganda, still under the threat of that, fighting a war on many fronts right now here in America, could be a signatory moment of the change in our American culture, the shift of American history, the shift of our nation, the premium, the value of citizenship and patriotism. Mr. Hughes with a iconic game-winning goal to bring the gold to the USA men's hockey team there at the Olympics, defeating the Canadians. It's strange. Sports has a way of delivering these poetic moments. Just as we're on the brink of what could end up being an annexation. I just want to be clear about that at the beginning of the show. It could end up being that in this political jump ball where Mr. Putin's going to take a little bit, Mr. Xi is going to take a little bit, our president, Donald J. Trump, is going to have to take a little bit. And who knows, maybe Israel succeeds in greater Israel, and Israel's going to take a little bit. Or they're swallowed up by the Arab nations. I don't know. We know Europe's fallen already to Islam, and that's clear as day. Islam has taken a lot of bit. 50 million Muslims in Europe, and that is just a daunting number that the Europeans see no real value to their heritage or culture or citizenship or preserving what is, for lack of a better term, Western society in Europe, in continental Europe. And because of the Commonwealth philosophy or ethos, the Canadians seem to be on the same track. Although I would venture to guess the Canadians would give up their culture and citizenship to totalitarian Chinese Communist Party regime before they gave it up to Islam. But who knows? Who knows? Time will tell. Point being, I think that game-winning goal today has a much more significant cultural and historical meaning than we may understand right now. And sports has a way of doing that. I was saying before the break, the deep respect I have for the hockey players. I'll tell you a quick story. When I was at the University of Minnesota, who has a very prestigious hockey history itself, the basketball players trained with the hockey players. We did our strength and conditioning with the hockey players. And I was always one of the stronger basketball players any team I ever played on. I love the weight room. I love strength and conditioning. I excelled in the weight room. I excelled at strength and conditioning, which is why I eventually transitioned to mixed martial arts. And I'm a little bit more of a gritty, tough, strong, physically solid athlete. Not much of a finesse athlete, although I had a little bit of finesse for my size, but I was much more of a tough, gritty type of athlete. I still am. 34 years old. I could easily be playing in the NBA today, but I'd much rather use my talents in mixed martial arts because, hey, it doesn't get more even than two men in a cage trying to knock each other unconscious. I trained with the hockey players at the University of Minnesota, and sometimes we would do our wall squats. There's a drill where you put your back up against the wall and you squat down and you see how long you can hold that squat position. It's a core exercise, but mostly it strengthens the legs, the thighs and the glutes and, some of the lower extremities. And, one of the first days of summer strength and conditioning, I came into Cal Dietz's his training room there at the University of Minnesota. Shout out to the great Cal Dietz, a decorated weight trainer, has, I don't know, maybe eight Frozen Fours, maybe more, maybe 10 Frozen Fours. Hell, it was, he had 10 Frozen Fours back in 2010 when I was at the University of Minnesota. I'm sure that he has many, many more, several more now, if he's even still the strength and conditioning coach there at the University of Minnesota. But anyway, the University of Minnesota is always in the hunt for the Frozen Four, which is the college hockey version of the, you know, the Final Four, the national tournament for hockey. Anyway, I come in one day and all the hockey guys are in the training room and we get done with our weightlifting session and we go to do our wall squats. And you got all the basketball players, all 13 of us lined up here on the wall. And then you got about 7 hockey guys. And it goes in order from basketball to hockey. There's no, mixing. It's just basketball guys first in the line and then the hockey guys next. And we're doing these wall squats. and you can just see the difference in the strength of the legs of the hockey guys versus the basketball guys. And one by one, you know, our basketball guys' legs, they're just shaking and quivering and they're wincing and, you know, they can barely hold themselves up in these wall squat exercises. And it's just one of those memorable moments where I look to my left and I see my guys, my basketball teammates, all due respect to them, great guys, great players, and tough, relatively tough themselves. And, you know, not weak, not faint of heart, but there's just a difference, of strength and toughness and grit. Leg strength too, because the hockey guys are on skates, you know, most of the day, so they have some natural difference in leg strength. Anyway, I look to my left, and I see my basketball guys, legs shaking, and I'm one of the stronger ones, so I'm not shaking yet. And one by one, they start to drop, and it gets to me, and I look to my right, and all the hockey guys are in a line, and they're sitting there laughing. They're laughing, you know, subtly, they're laughing at us, but they're not being rude about it. They're laughing and they're joking about where they're going to go have a couple of beers later on that night and what they're going to eat, a couple of cheeseburgers or whatever the case may be. And slowly but surely, even myself, I'm sitting there and I'm trying to hold strong for the basketball guys. And eventually I just give way. And I remember still that the hockey team was unwavering, let's say, in their resolve and the wall squat. But it's indicative of hockey as a sport. And I always tell people the two most dynamic sports, team sports, are basketball and hockey. The reason is because the perpetual motion and, all the other big stick sports, let's say, all the other major sports, American sports, be it football, baseball, even soccer at the international level, there's a lot of stop and go. Or the game is played in distinct lines, sections. For example, football, stop and go. But also in football, there is a distinction in the level of play, right? You have free safeties and cornerbacks who are your defensive backs. And then you have your linebackers and you have your linemen and the play kind of happens at different levels. Same thing in baseball. You have a pitcher, you have a catcher, you have a batter, you have your infield and then you have your outfield. And there's a lot of stop and go to the play in both baseball and football. In soccer, the field is so big and the levels have such great distance between them that your front guys, your wings as they call them, and then your backfield guys, your defenders, there's a lot of time where they're standing around until they're involved in the play. Basketball isn't like that. Basketball, all 5 players, all 10 players on the court are involved in all of the play at all times. Very important distinction to make about the dynamic of team sports when it comes to basketball versus all the other big stick sports in America. The other sport where all of the players are involved in all of the play at all times is hockey. Hockey and basketball are very, very similar in that way. My respect goes out to the hockey guys, and maybe they get the nod of it being an even tougher sport. An even more multivariate sport, an even more dynamic sport, because they have to do it on skates. with the most physical contact, or one of the most physical sports of all of the major sports. And you have to love a sport where you can throw your gloves down and fight. Significant cultural difference between hockey and all the other sports is that you can fight in the sport. And so naturally there's a toughness or a grit that's imbued in hockey as a sport that we don't see anymore across our American culture. And I think it's two-pronged. I mean, it's a twofold thing where I think the other sports have become increasingly soft. There may even be a little bit of a racial component. Let's be honest. Okay. I mean, every time a Draymond Green gets into a scuffle, I hear some of the sports commentators go, you know, this is unbecoming of an athlete. This is unsportsmanlike. No, I actually think basketball would be a little cooler if you could have a 10-second, let's not say a fight. The difference between hockey and basketball is the fights take place on skates. And although you can get some good shots in, it is difficult to balance yourself and throw a proper punch. There's actually an art to it. You can do it, but it's not easy. And the fights usually don't last long, which is why hockey allows fights, because I mean, how much damage could you actually do when push comes to shove on skates? Basketball, you got a nice pair of sneakers, good grip, bare fist. People could do a lot of damage. And the basketball players tend to be a bit bigger physically as well. And there's a big physical disparity in basketball players. You get a guy like Shaq punching a little guy like Kenny Smith, and all of a sudden, you know, you might could kill a guy. You know, you'd certainly do real damage. So my point in being is I think that American sports has gotten soft for some reason. Hockey has survived the pussification of American culture. Say all that to say that somehow hockey has preserved a toughness and grit in American culture that we are losing rapidly. We're losing rapidly nationwide. We're losing rapidly in our sports, but nationwide. And you see it there in the interview, the post-game interview. This guy's missing the front tooth. His mouth is busted and bleeding. I have great respect for the hockey guys. Not only is it the most dynamic sport, but there's a toughness and grit imbued in hockey. It's kind of at a systemic level because of the nature of the game and the way that the shepherds of hockey have carried the institution of hockey across the Chernow House of history. The hockey guys maintain that toughness and grit. And that's why, you know, the Miracle on Ice gives you goosebumps in this moment today with the USA men's hockey team. Maybe I'm just a romantic for sports and some of these iconic sports moments, but I get goosebumps. It even for Patriots who really understand the moment in time we're in today, it should tear jerk you a little bit. I mean, if you really have that emotional connection, that spiritual connection to the consequential political environment we live in and the importance of citizenship and patriotism and love of country versus the alternative, a borderless society, the rise of communism on our borders that, you know, that are frail borders, depending on who's in office. President of the United States currently restored the border. The next president of the United States, if it's AOC, will surely open the borders. And that's a harrowing reality. But we're in an important time. And for us to defeat the Canadians, you know, sports, again, let me say, it's significant. So a lot of people look at, and we have trouble calling these balls and strikes, I think. Culture-wide, it's like either it's all politics or it's all distraction. It's all sports and gossip and, you know, or the hustle and bustle of everyday life. And there's very little middle ground in between, because people fear the middle ground, and they're right to fear the middle ground. People are right to fear the middle ground. People are right to think the middle ground, the status quo, the moderate milk toast middle is where all the corruption is fortified. People are dead on, spot on accurate to fear the middle. In fact, part of the reason why we're losing the war geopolitically to a nation like Russia is because their intellectual thought leaders have already ironed this out. And I think Alex Jones has had the Russian guy, I'm sorry, Dugin, has already had Alexander Dugin on the show. And Alexander Dugin's political work, The Rise of the Fourth Political Theory, outlines this in great detail. And he's a very important figure in the Russian culture, and people would do well to study what it is he says. You get a good idea of where the current Russian philosophical mentality is. And he says in his book, in the Fourth Political Theory, that change, consequential change, never comes from the middle, never comes from the status quo, that the people in the middle preserve, they go out of their way to preserve the status quo. All the real change comes from the periphery. That's how the Russians talk. It comes from the periphery of politics, of political, of culture, of politics. The real change comes from the periphery. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody on the periphery or in the periphery are good people, are righteous, are fit to lead. Doesn't, just because you come from the periphery doesn't mean that you're right. It just says that you have a better likelihood that change, significant change and rightful change, a change to a status quo of corruption, will come from the periphery somewhere. And I mentioned that again. The significance of the moment here in America, it's profound. It's not inconsequential for the United States men's hockey team to win a gold medal. First time since the Miracle on Ice. We were fighting the Russians then. We defeated the Russians then. Now we're fighting here on our own continent. I see the other day that a Canadian politician put forward an idea that they would create legislation which circumvented the need for Canadian military to be Canadian born, that they could draft or recruit military from other nations. Let that sink in. So when I hear it, alarm bells go off in my head right away. I know what it means. It means that the Canadians, the ones on the left, the progressive left, or the ones who are more favorable for a radically socialist system, are considering which nations they could align with, probably China, and bring Chinese nationals or military men right here to our North American shores under a formal and legal pretext. We're going to talk about the rule of law when we get into the Supreme Court. We'll do that on the other side of the break. But pretext, you can have a legal and formal pretext. Shocking as that may be. Legal and formal pretext for the subversion of a country, of a nation, of a culture, of a people. Whether you know it or not, we're already at war with the Canadians. Whether you know it or not, the win today for the USA men's hockey team against Canada is a poetic victory and a sort of precursor, a premonition of sorts of a conflict that is on the way. Constitutional crisis here in our own country, fighting a war on many fronts, but even our neighbors, even our bordering neighbors, the Canadians. And see, President Trump, God bless his heart, kind and decent-hearted man. He plays nice with everybody. I guarantee you this, as sure as the sun will rise, as sure as the turning of the earth, the next generation of MAGA and America First politicians are going to be so much more radical, it will blow people's mind. It's going to blow people's mind, and we're going to win. Understand, when we secure these elections, first of all, we're going to have a constitutional crisis to secure these elections, and we'll talk about what the SCOTUS decision indicates for that uphill battle here in the next several months. But once we secure these elections, if we secure these elections, and then once we secure these elections, we're going to win elections. So we got Democrats who can't even admit that deportations are a legitimate process at all, in principle. So we're going to win elections. Anybody who remembers the value of citizenship and what it means to be a citizen of a country with a border, and that we shouldn't be the only country in the world without a border, we're going to win elections. I'm not concerned about that. The AOCs of the world versus the Royce Whites of the world is going to be an overwhelming victory when push comes to shove. I said the other day, I may have to run for president in 2028 just to be able to get AOC on a debate stage, if possible. And I do it just to get AOC on a debate stage. I know J.D. Vance is the front runner, and everybody loves good old Marco Rubio. And, you know, there's other names that have been floated out there from the Republican side. Pete Hegseth is a name that's said here from Minnesota boy himself. We'll see. We'll see how everything shakes out. 2028, long way away. Let's secure our elections first. Let's hold the House and the Senate in 2026. Let's get as many Rhino establishment Republicans and non-America first Republicans out as we can, while also holding Republican seats. I saw Nick Fuentes the other day. There's a video that popped up, and you don't even know what's AI or isn't anymore, but I think I can confirm that it was real. And Nick says, in plain terms, I'm not voting, don't vote. Don't vote. Just don't vote. The Republican Party has to crash and burn. They have to learn a lesson. I hear you. I understand what you're saying. Trust me, I'm fighting the same feckless, spineless, and cowardice Republican Party and GOP right here in Minnesota. I'm not saying what Nick said doesn't have merit or is without merit. What I am saying is we have to weigh the real practical and strategic implications of such a decision, such a move. And maybe I'm dumb for using a sports analogy, but, you know, you're in gym class and you got two teams playing tug of war, and one team decides to just let go of the rope. What happens? You kind of lose by default. I don't think this is a moment where we can afford to lose by default. I don't think the American people are ready for what comes next if we lose by default. We'll talk about that a little bit on the other side of the break as well. Significant win culturally, historically. Poetic for us to win a gold medal over the Canadians, our northern neighbor, who seem hell-bent on giving their country to communism and offering a foothold to our communist enemies right here on our North American shores. You're watching Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast here on the Alex Jones Show, InfoWars Sunday Night Live. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned. We got a long way to go this evening. We're gonna get into some more things on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should add.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant.
Absolutely.
Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that. It's.
Oh, let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feeling, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though, you got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
This is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you. You're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now. Day off from the campaign trail doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones's Methylene Blue. It's pretty good. I got to say, I've been using it on the road since we left the studios. And I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 04. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, it's been used for years. It's just not very well known with regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on.
This Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Thanks for all your support. Today and tomorrow are the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, when you get 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, get both vehicles. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. And it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. It's simple, it's clean, and it's just exciting, and it spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
InfoWars.com Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
At holding these people in this administration accountable, I'll tell you what the work is not. The work is not killing American citizens.
You said the work we
in
need
our
them
community.
To do. I'm interested in your opinion. What
Absolutely.
Is the work that we need them to do?
Absolutely. One, the work is not killing American citizens.
No, what is going the work into, we need them to do?
Well, first, let's look at what they don't need to do. They don't need to go into communities like Memphis,
Tennessee.
Do they
need to deport illegal aliens?
Where they're currently terrorizing and traumatizing our
aliens.
Communities. What we also need
Can
to make sure
it?
Is that we have elected officials who are creating
it?
A pathway of opportunity for people who are currently undocumented.
Do we need a federal law enforcement agency to deport illegal aliens, yes or no?
We do need a federal law enforcement agency that deals with immigration, that doesn't kill people.
To deport illegal aliens,
yes or
no?
What we do also need is laws that make sure that people who are undocumented.
Is there a single illegal alien that you would deport?
You know, this is what I want you to focus on.
Is there one?
I want you to focus on. There are a lot of people in this country and
one.
In this community, in our community, that have done so much to make them better, and we need to be prioritizing
so
how we create
no.
opportunity.
Is this the Democratic position
for
26?
The Democratic
there are no illegal aliens
26,
that should be deported?
The Democratic position in 26 is that we don't terrorize American citizens, we don't terrorize undocumented people.
If you were advising
people,
Democrats in 26, would you advise
like
them
Alex
to answer Brady this question this way,
Good.
That you can't say there is a single illegal alien that should be deported by the federal government?
What is shocking to me is that you think you can narrow the challenges of immigration, you can challenge the issues of immigration into one yes or no question when the reality is the policies and practices
yes, should we follow
of
the
this
law? Is the
administration
yes or no
have led to the deaths of American
right.
citizens and has not
okay.
produced the results that
no deportations. That's the Democratic position.
If they come to our state, it's an invasion. It's an occupation. People are being kidnapped, not detained, not arrested, kidnapped. Rhetoric like that. And the stance that your party has taken from top to bottom, from Governor Walz all the way down, that there is no legitimacy to federal authority is nothing less than insurrectionist rhetoric. And that is why, take your moment. I got mine. Take your moment to digest that. Look it up. The number of lawyers that are laughing at me right now. Do you understand how the Supremacy Clause works? Do you understand what insurrection is? It's the undermining of federal authority. January 6th, thank you so much for bringing that up. You guys went on and on and on about that for what, 4 years? Yeah, it's still celebrated as a holiday on your side of the aisle. One riot on one day. It's an attack on democracy. You ran an entire election on it. For months and weeks on end, we have had the top law enforcement officer in this state, the governor in this state, the mayor of Minneapolis, and many of you actively undermine federal authority when it comes to immigration law. And acting upon that rhetoric, people like Renee Good and people like Alex Preddy put themselves in harm's way. They did what you
asked. Point of order, Madam Speaker. Point of order. Personality is not allowed in debate. We are not going to allow you. We are not going to allow you to impugn community members who have been murdered by the federal government. How dare you? That is shameful.
The scientists are telling us that if we don't act incredibly boldly within the next 6-7 years, there will be irreparable damage done, not just to Nevada, not just to Vermont or Massachusetts, but to the entire world. Joe said it right. This is an existential threat. You know what that means, Chuck? That means we're fighting for the future of this planet. And the Green New Deal that I support, by the way, will create up to 20 million good-paying jobs as we move our energy system away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and sustainable energy. This is a moral issue, my friends.
There it is. A great cold open. Thank you to the production team for getting that queued up. That went smooth. And you see the narrative. First of all, I want to address the guy with the afro. We know him as a Tennessee state representative who a few years back gave a speech in a very Martin Luther King sort of tone. It's almost embarrassing. And the afro is embarrassing. I'm just going to tell you again, the merit of his argument is, and the disingenuousness of his argument is obvious. He doesn't want to say what he really believes, which is that he doesn't believe in deportations. And Scott Jennings, you know, God bless him. He's in the lion's den. He's doing the Lord's work to an extent. But I don't trust Scott Jennings either. I'm just going to be honest. He's another Bush faction Republican. He's got his intellectual arguments in order and got good for him, you know. But when push comes to shove, I don't trust Scott Jennings to not be one of these establishment Republican folks. Great example. My U.S. Senate opponent, Michelle Tafoya, again, pro-choice at the most pivotal moment in our nation's history, after the brutal assassination of Christian martyr Charlie Kirk, the Republican establishment in D.C. and all the donor money decides they're going to double down on left-leaning political strategy by bringing a pro-choice candidate, another pro-choice Republican candidate, to the United States Senate. Riddle me that. First day of her launch, who has her on his show? Scott Jennings. Yeah. And the rest of the Kentucky boys, again, nobody will answer. Who votes for Thomas Massie, Rand Paul, and Mitch McConnell? Which Kentucky voter votes for all three? Mitch McConnell's stumbling his way out of it. I mean, should some of the first legislation I bring to the United States Senate on the other side of 2026 be term limits and even a provisional 25th Amendment extension to the United States Senate and House as well, when a United States senator demonstrates that they no longer have the reasonable cognitive ability to fulfill the duties of the office? I don't even understand why Mitch McConnell is allowed to finish out the rest of his term. He should resign immediately. He does not have the cognitive or physical function to be able to fulfill the duty of the United States Senate as a United States senator at a time of war. And we are in a time of war. He wouldn't have the, in my opinion, he doesn't have the cognitive ability or function to perform the duties if we weren't at war under normal circumstances, because legislation is consequential. But I guess when you give over, concede that your politics are mostly theater, you know, a farewell tour, as they call it in the NBA or sports world, a final hurrah, a final clap and applaud, a final head nod for your distinction is accepted culturally. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's a sign of the rapid decline of our country and our value of citizenship and our standard for our political and elected officials, our politicians and elected officials. The fact that Mitch McConnell is even allowed to continue is a shame, is a dark mark on American history, especially the time we're in now. But I guess when you have a huge war chest that you can pass around, I guess everybody looks the other way. Who votes for Mitch McConnell, Rand Paul, and Thomas Massie? Somebody tell me that. Scott Jennings? Same state. If I'm not mistaken, I think Scott Jennings is from Kentucky. We'll have to double check that. But I believe that's the scenario. Anyway, I say that to frame Scott Jennings is the only representation that we have on CNN, and there's a reason for that. That shouldn't go unnoticed. And oh, all of us love, we all love what he has to say so much that we overlook his fundamental political philosophy. And I get it. I get it. When you're right, you're right. If you're right two times a day, a broken clock is right two times a day. So give him his credit. He has his intellectual house in order, and he's able to articulate and rebuff and refute a lot of these baseless and insane liberal talking points on CNN. Great. Okay, great. Me, I'm sort of an ad hominem type of guy. I like a good ad hominem. And in my neighborhood, the kid with the afro wouldn't make it a quarter block with that act. He just wouldn't. We'd see that afro coming a mile away, and we'd know this dude is about to say some bullshit. Grade A, weapon grade bullshit. It's the afro itself is weapon grade bullshit. Not to say you can't wear an afro. It just means if you're going to rock an afro, you got to be a dude. You got to be a dude. Like the dudes who rocked afros back in the day, they were dudes. They weren't dudes like that. They weren't pompous, arrogant, virtue signaling, talk around in circles, kind of never get to the real heart of matters type of dudes. They were real dudes. And we've lost that. Black, white, Latino, American. We've lost too many dudes, real dudes. That's a virtue signal fro. That's what that is. It's a virtue signal afro. I'm just not, I like a good ad hominem. Like I said, I didn't want to debate with you, dude, because you're not a dude. Bring me a real dude and then we'll debate. I'm not debating no dude with no symbolic afro. You know, And these are the thing. When you look back, like, I think, you know, and I put up the meme the other day. All this talk about aliens and UFOs, and we're going to release classified information about the aliens. And great, fine. I want to see it. We all do. We all do. We all want them to tell us what we already know or what some of us still, you know, have different theories about. I don't know. I mean, God bless Anna Paula Luna. And the others at Burchett and all these others who are trying to put pressure for us to get some clarity about the UAP, UFO phenomenon and all of the things. Alex Jones himself has talked about over the years. And who knows what's actually going on? I don't know. Oh, I'm just a dumb Negro from the neighborhood. I don't know if aliens are real, if it's a psyop, blue beam or, you know, I don't know. I do know that we're seeing something out there in the sky. We're seeing something out there on radar. Raider. Something out there on radar. I can't say what it is. It's not my line of country. I'm interested. I'll say that. I'm interested. But I do know that the aliens are up next, it would seem. You know, the aliens are the next ones to be declassified. And if I were the aliens, I'd be afraid. I put up a meme the other day on X that says, as the aliens huddled up in a circle with an infrared light on them, and the quote says, "We're up next." And the guy goes, "I'm nervous." I don't know. It's funny. Yes, they should be nervous. Anybody who's going to be cast into the mayhem of culture that we've created worldwide should be nervous. Point being, the Afro guy, are you kidding me? They're just saying the quiet part out loud now. We don't believe in deportations. We don't believe in having a country. Juxtaposed to the iconic goal scored by Jack Hughes to bring the gold back to USA versus our communist northern neighbor, the Canadians. He believes in this country. The guy with the Afro doesn't. Afro kid, Afro Jack, he doesn't believe in this country. He doesn't believe in having a country. He doesn't believe in the truth. He doesn't believe in honesty. He believes in his own political agenda. This is the definition, the patent definition of political ideologues. They don't, the political agenda is their religion. The Democrat Party has become a cult. Now they'll say we're a cult, but the difference is we have no problem criticizing the president. We have no problem criticizing or questioning any of the fundamental policies and arguing the merit of the ideas on the right side of the aisle. Let's say Israel has been the number one in recent times, but even free trade, H-1B visas. Should we let Chinese nationals be in our institutions? Should we allow the Chinese to own farmland in our country, our expressed national moral enemy? The Epstein files. We're willing to question these things, and we're willing to at least have conversations about them. We don't have a dogmatic line drawn that we're not even going to venture on into that territory. It's sort of a non-starter to question the prevailing and conventional theories of our political thought leaders. It's not who we are as a movement. So you could like President Trump, you could dislike him. You could love him, you could hate him, you can agree, you can disagree. But one thing you can say is that Republicans, conservatives, MAGA, America Firsters, aren't willing to question the dogmatic lines that President Trump or any of the other conservative thought leaders express. We are. We do. We do it often. There's an example where Scott Jennings finds himself in the advantageous, conspicuously advantageous, I might add, conspicuously advantageous position to be fighting against the lunacy of a liberal panel that all agree on the fundamental that we shouldn't have a border. Fundamental. Should we have a border or not? Do you believe in deportations or not? He couldn't answer it. He wouldn't answer it. None of them will answer it. Or they'll lie straight to your face. They'll say, "Oh, we believe in deportations. Of course we do." Same thing you saw there from Walter Hudson, current state rep Walter Hudson, who I like. A little too cozy with Tom Emmer. Far too cozy with Tom Emmer, if I'm being honest, because we are getting to that point. I like you, Walter. I like you. I think you have a good head on your shoulders, and I think you mean well. I think you're a little too invested in the process and the idea that you got to be in to change anything. Sure, there's some truth to that. But if you get in and you lose your sacred honor because you're too beholden to the same powers that corrupted the place in the first and corrupted the thing in the first place, and then it becomes a wash. In fact, it probably becomes a net negative. You probably become more of a problem than you are a solution, even when you speak the truth. I saw Kennedy there, who we all love, Senator Kennedy, funny, southern drawl, wholesome fella. Always gives us, you know, some great quotables, hot takes from Senator Kennedy down there in Louisiana. And I see him the other day making an argument or a presentation about Mauritius and us expanding our global dollar empire and footprint by purchasing. So, I mean, it's just, I understand, Nick. And they're going to clip this. Royce White is a Nick Fuentes sympathizer. He's a Nazi. He believes in what? Listen, Nick Fuentes is telling more truth than most of you could muster up in your pinky finger. You don't even have the balls to even dip your pinky finger in the vat of truth that Nick Fuentes is willing to. And by that standard, he is leaps and bounds at a young age ahead of the Chuck Schumers of the world. Hell, the Mitch McConnells of the world, who in their old age are going to eventually pass on knowing that they've sold their soul and lived an entire life without God, because you can't have a life where the truth is so separate, without God and without sacred honor. And what a daunting and in fact, the reason we really should have term limits and age limit there in D.C. is because the thing is so corrupt. The closer you get to death, the closer you get to your mortality, the more desperate and disconnected from reality you become. Which makes your entire the animating principle of your action as a lawmaker is going to reflect your desperation. Back to Nick Fuentes, he's telling the truth. I get it. I mean, I understand what he's saying, that the GOP is feckless and we have to crash and burn in order to fix this. I just don't believe in letting go of the rope during a tug of war. The consequences can be too dire, Nick. And the rest of the Groyper movement and all the America Firsters, I understand the frustration. Trust me. When I'm here in the state of Minnesota and I'm saying we need to double down on the America First movement, the nationalist populist movement, we need to double down on Christ and our religious principles, we need to double and triple down, we're just right. When I walk into a room, a Republican convention, and say that, and then they marshal up Michelle Tafoya, a sideline reporter who sold her soul to be able to smile and wave at these woke NFL games, only to bring a pro-choice political position to the epicenter, the political epicenter of our entire country, right here, the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, I'm just as frustrated as you. But I don't think giving up is the answer. And maybe it's the athlete in me. I'll play a game that's rigged. Tell me you're going to cheat me. Tell me the refs are bad. Tell me we're going to the other team's gym and the crowd's going to hate us and it's a hostile environment. And at any moment, the crowd could become unruly and we'd be outnumbered 100-1. Great. We'll fight our way out of that foxhole. We will fight our way out of that foxhole. I'm not saying vote harder is the answer. I'm not saying the elections can be won if they're not secured. I'm saying that we have to plan on participating in the political process and we have to let that play out as it will. And then we make our decision from there how we respond. I just question if people really want to, take it to the level that they suggest. Because what is the alternative? The alternative is we say to hell with it and we go to the mattresses right now. Okay, what are the implications? Quasi-civil war skirmishes all across the country. It'll be mass casualty and death. A lot of death, a lot of suffering. A lot of people who can't imagine a quasi-civil war situation or scenario where they actually have to know how to survive and survive against the highest level and most predatory people in our society with no rules, with the gloves off, where despite defund the police to our liberal countrymen and women, the police won't be answering your calls with any type of good response time in that scenario. You'll be calling nobody. Nobody will be coming to help you. And maybe that's what you want because you're so self-loathing and self-hating and sadomasochistic. Maybe you want a quasi-civil war skirmish so you could meet your eventual end. Maybe you'll tell yourself you did it and as a martyr to your secular humanist cult. I get it. Some people will tell themselves that. But for us practical people, us patriots, if that is the route that we were going to go, we would have went there already. and that's my honest assessment. I just tell people as honestly as I can. I think we would have gone there. If we really wanted to go there, if we needed proof or evidence, if we needed a set of circumstances or a scenario to go to that place to say that to hell with the process, we're going to go to the blood of patriots. We'd have done that because we don't need any more evidence. We don't need to be shown anything else. So all in all, we don't want to do that. That's okay. It's okay to say it. Just say it, guys. It's okay. I'm that coach. I'm not your therapist. I'm not your priest. Let me be your uncle. It's okay to say that you don't really want to go to that blood of patriots scenario. Because if you did, we would have. A lot of you aren't built like that. I'm just going to tell you, you're not really built like that. I'm not talking about Nick specifically. I just mean people across this country. We're not, we don't have the stomach for that. We're not even trained like that. We weren't brought up through school like that. The worst people amongst us, the people, the worst of us, the people who have been trained to kill, who have been, conditioned to survive in the shittiest of circumstances, to be quite honest, those might not be the people you want in charge. And those are going to be the people who rise to the top in that type of situation. A true Darwinian situation does not bode well for us, because our own psychology, our own spiritual and moral house isn't all the way in order. In order to go that route where you go to the mattresses, you got to have your own spiritual and moral house in order en masse at a cultural level, or else things break down, and they break down really fast. My contention is that we do have to participate in this election cycle, and God bless the Christ is King America firsters must stand up in the process before they ever choose to stand up in the violence. That's my recommendation. I'm just a dumb Negro from the neighborhood. Take it for what you will. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. You're watching The Alex Jones Show live here on Sunday night, InfoWars. I'm Lawrence White and Belly the Beast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. I got you for another, hour and a half. We got a long way to go, but we're making our way there.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at theAlexJonesStore.com. And they had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives. That's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it. So people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly. Four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last few days. Our sponsor, just really top flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality, massive steel, all of it. These sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-something bucks. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small. Nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire of Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest fitting knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. I guess those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. While you're in it, get Methylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss, and more, and check out the Patriot Apparel, TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. White, thank you for being with us this evening. It's a great honor to host InfoWars anytime I get a chance, but recently I've been holding down the 6 to 8 p.m. Central Sunday night spot. Highlight of my young life. Alex Jones is getting all this shit right now from a bunch of people online. And, you know, I just sit back and laugh and go, the merit of a man's body of work, if it means nothing, imagine going to a post-civilized Civil War skirmish scenario. I mean, I just don't think people have the sacred honor to do what they say that they want to do, or they propose in their, you know, in their romantic pipe dreams of patriotism. It's just my honest assessment. You know, my honest assessment. I think you all better pray that the political process turns in a different direction. I think a lot of people should pray for that. I know it's taboo. You know, I know it's not socially accepted. The two things you're never supposed to talk about, religion and politics. Well, now we're going to find a spot here in American history where we got to thread a needle, and you better pray that your politics turn out better. As a matter of fact, you better pray that you find the courage to propel your politics to a better place. Because if you don't, I don't know if you'll survive. I know I'm going to survive. Matter of fact, I don't know, because if I'm being honest, I get the spidey sense, the tingling, the hair standing up on the back of my neck, that the Democrats, the deranged Democrats here in Minnesota, are just around the corner from launching full-blown lawfare against me. Because I'm dangerous. Because I understand the scam, and I can articulate the ideas to the people in a way that's digestible and makes them question their framework of reality in this country. And those of us are going to get rounded up first. I'm not sure why young Nick Fuentes is so confident he won't be rounded up as well. And maybe he's made his peace with that. And if so, there is some sacred honor to the making your peace, that martyrdom is almost a guarantee to some degree in our Christian faith and Christian theology. You know, you will be persecuted for his namesake. And maybe that's the great Achilles heel of post-Enlightenment Christianity. We've placed so much emphasis on martyrdom, the Charlie Kirk outcome, that we've forgotten there are times where Christians win the war. There are times in history where Christians do, in fact, win the war. To all my evangelical Zionists out there who prioritize Israel over America, and that is the Achilles heel to your Christian theology, might I add, that you somehow believe, and it's even remotely or vaguely appropriate to place Israel's politics ahead of America's. Traitors. Traitors to your country. The flip side of the coin, the spitting mirror image of the virtue signal Afro on CNN is the evangelical Zionist who thinks Israel's politics should come before our own. Spitting image. You're the same type of traitor. You don't understand the deep spiritual meaning of borders, which work in both directions, might I add. Borders work in both directions. Oh, we got to get solid about this intellectually. Intellectually, we got to get solid about this. Borders work in both directions, and they have deep spiritual meaning. Borders place a limit on man's unfettered ambition to be emperor, to be ruler of all, to be God. Borders place a limit on man's unfettered ambition to be God. It works in both directions. Works in both directions. Again, you're watching The Alex Jones Show here on Sunday night, live, InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White. We're going to go do a brief break. We'll be back in a moment. We're going to talk about SCOTUS, borders, much more. We'll be right back.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Alex Jones Show, Sunday night live, InfoWars, your guest host, Belly of the Beast. Central Command Center there in Texas, now vis-a-vis Minneapolis, Minnesota, the Belly of the Beast. And before the break, we were talking about borders. And so this, again, I say this for a reason. If we go to a quasi-civil war scenario, our enemies are organized, they're unified in their hatred of this country and it's what it stands for. And they will be emboldened to attack us here at home. In my opinion, if we go to a quasi civil war sort of scenario, if the Union fractures right now, I don't believe that the regions of the country are organized enough, fit enough, physically fit enough, healthy enough, in the right type of mentality to stave off our enemies, who would almost certainly be emboldened when our northern neighbor is all but inviting foreign military men and women to join their country. I don't know that we don't end up overrun. You got to realize in a scenario like that, it's a scenario like we're seeing now, overrun in today's world isn't going to be a foreign adversary or military making landfall here on our shores and steamrolling our military. And that's not how it's going to happen. How it's going to happen is by way of mass consensus, nationwide consensus that some leader or some leader influenced by some foreign enemy is the rightful leader and righteous authority, rightful or righteous authority of our nation. Look at what's happening there in New York City. Mom Donnie's a herald of the time that we live in. And oh, the black people there in New York City that thought that the textbook communist play isn't to penalize the layman, the average citizen, the deplorables, as Hillary Clinton would call them, that it isn't to penalize the plebs when their political pipe dreams don't go as planned. And did you black people in Queens, New York, really believe that Mom Donnie had the balls, the courage, even the fundamental, genuine desire to tax the rich? No. It was always going to be you. That's the sick part. That's the sick joke about it. It was always going to be you. And a cautionary tale for the rest of the country. It will be you. It will be you. It's not going to, President Xi isn't going to have the Chinese military roll over here, make landfall and steamroll the American military or the American insurgency that would follow, because Americans don't take the tyrannical rule lying down. No, that's not happens. We smuggle a Trojan horse, a Manchurian candidate right into your midst. And we tell you that it's for your own good. That's how this nation will fall. That's how this nation will come under foreign rule. And you can make an argument that it's already begun. It's begun there in New York City, the world's financial capital. It's begun right here in Minneapolis, the Belly of the Beast, whether it be Tim Walz, Jacob Frey, take your pick. Omar Fateh was just a stress test. It's just a stress test to see How communist can we go? Can we already got the call to prayer here in Minneapolis five times a day. Can we just put a Muslim communist straight into the Minneapolis mayor seat and people go for it? Is, you know, the plumb line liberals, the limousine liberals of the Beta Maka Sa area said, no, that's a step too far. You know, we love us some socialism and communism on the margins. we like, you know, they're talking about marginalization, no pun intended. We like some socialism and some communism on the margins. We don't like it full blown in your face. Not yet. We're getting there. We're warming up to it. But they don't realize it effectively. And I said this the other day on my show, the Royce White Show on Real America's Voice. I said that at the highest level, communism and capitalism is two sides of the same coin economically, from a monetary perspective. Functions the same way. This is the profound implication of the Federal Reserve and the way that our monetary policy works. So when you socialize the risk of a country, first of all, when you have a country that's lost its sacred honor, its moral and righteous center, its moral and ethical center, and the money becomes your guiding principle, and then you socialize the risk of your monetary system, you've effectively become a socialist culture. So when we say socialism, we mean Marxism, we mean communism. People of New York City thought that they voted for democratic socialism. They ended up with communism. Go figure. It's all of us. It's all of us. The sharp decline of our country is not so much practical as it is a concession of the philosophical. It really is. I don't mean to sound esoteric, but it really is. Philosophically, we've detached American citizenship from the rugged individualism and the guarantee of a republican form of government that our founding fathers intended. And for that reason, we have given over to the rot of radical materialism, and subsequently this idea that you could have a socialized monetary system and policy and not become a culturally socialist society. Man, that was a mouthful, but that's what it is. They socialized the risk. As soon as the rise of communism wasn't the election of Barry Obama. No. The rise of socialism was when the financial crisis and the housing collapse happened. And the Federal Reserve said, we're going to turn on the money machines. Money machine goes burr. That was the standing up of communism. And the subsequent, quantitative easing. Socializing the risk. Saying that the corporations are too big to fail. And a lot of you Republicans went along with it. A lot of you Republicans made some strange financial workaround or paper over of the morals and the ethics or the principle that, you know, if you make a bad choice, you got to take responsibility for it. For some reason, that doesn't work for a major corporation. For some reason, we want to gerrymander that distinction. And now we're paying a cost. I think I got too far from the point, but the point is we better pray that the process bears out a righteous and genuine will of the people. Because we don't even have that philosophical house in order. And there's no real appetite for people like me. The reason you don't see me on Fox News or CNN, the reason they never bring me on MSNBC, the reason even some of your alternative conservative pundits and commentators run from me like the Black Plague is because I hold the entire culture and conversation to the highest intellectual standards. Dumb Negro that I am. They run from me like the Black Plague. Hell, Steve Bannon and Alex Jones are the only ones with the balls to even let me have a platform, because they themselves are two who place a high premium on the intellectual and philosophical implications of this entire political situation we have. That the three are inextricably linked. The spiritual, intellectual, philosophical, and political are all sort of inextricably linked. Inextricably linked. But we don't believe that broadly. And that's why we better stop kidding ourselves that we want to go to the mattresses. You got to have deep moral resolve to go to the mattresses. All revolutions, the fundamental heresy of Marxism is that a society can maintain its morality without sacred honor and God. That you get righteous revolutions if you reduce the human existence down to price. The goal of Marxism is to reduce the human existence down to price, and at the bottom, inevitably, you resort to tribal warfare, and that tribal warfare will somehow bring righteous revolutions. All democratic majorities aren't made equal and righteous. All revolutions aren't made equal and righteous. I get the sense that some people believe, even on the right, just as they do on the left, that all revolutions are a net positive and righteous. When corruption owns the day, when corruption is in charge, when the status quo has become bankrupt of moral fiber, has become a shining beacon of corruption, when the status quo in power is corrupt at an absolute sort of level, people believe that all revolution is the remedy. Any revolution is the remedy. No. It both things can be true. You could have unfettered, unlimited corruption of the status quo and still yield a revolution that is even more depraved. Morality, righteousness is not a zero-sum proposition. It's just not. We're not guaranteed a balance. I mean, that idea in and of itself is a very secular humanist idea. That the natural response to a corrupt status quo, a global corrupt status quo, must be that anywhere revolution pops up, it's a great remedy. What kind of stupid secular humanist idea is that? It's retarded. Retarded is what it is. Lacks first principles. Philosophical, moral, spiritual, theological, Christian first principles. No, you could easily have a leader. In fact, I think Revelations warns of such a time where the world is in a bad way, and a false prophet who knows the scripture, who understands the scripture, who has command of the scripture, who has command of an intellect that is supernatural, charming, comes to power. Be careful. Be careful who you follow and who you listen to in these hours. Vet everything. Listen to people. Get your fill. I'm not trying to restrict you, but I am telling you to be cautious. There's a reason. I mean, just take your pick. Take your pick, the who's who of alternative conservative sources and outlets. Take your pick of why they don't want to cross swords with yours truly. Fear. Fear. They fear me. But more importantly, they fear the animating spirit. That if we want to race to the bottom, if we want to unravel and unwind everything that we've accomplished to this point, then we're going to do it at the highest, with the highest level of intellectual rigor. People talk a lot, but they're not so interested in that. They're not so interested in that course of action, which is how we got to this place we're in now, which is how we got here. People had a bunch of opinions, not rooted in anything concrete. And even if you're right, two times a day is a broken clock. The question is, are your first principles in order? And even more so, as America has grown and aged and evolved, have we really evolved? At the same time as your core principles have to stay rooted in reality, there's also a call and a duty to evolve, to let the consciousness and the curiosity that we've been imbued with
by divine, you know, divine favor, do we push ourselves intellectually to evolve the underpinning culture? Well, the progressives would say, yes, it's called progressivism. They understand it theoretically because they're Satanists. They understand that mankind has a natural tilt toward curiosity, that the intellect and the spirit are inextricably linked, and the human consciousness longs for freedom and the truth. So naturally, an evolution is desirable. And we can weaponize the word progress or evolution to make people think the benchmark of intellectual evolution in our society is that a man could cut his penis off and magically become a woman. What's the counter? What's our conscientious conservative counterpoint? Well, we had Jordan Peterson. We have Jordan Peterson. And he's as, profound and intellectual as we've produced. Got himself caught up with the Daily Wire. Got himself on the Israel First side of things. All due respect to him. Has to sort that out in his own, you know, mind before he can return to a place of credibility. And I'm not taking anything away from his body of work. Can't even be quantified what Jordan Peterson, the quantum leap in cultural evolution that Jordan Peterson added to America, to Western society, to the entire world from a philosophical and psychological standpoint. It can't even be quantified, yet still comes with its flaws, as we all do, like King David, a man after the Lord's own heart, but he was covetous. So nothing's going to be perfect. Nobody's going to be perfect. But people can strive to be profound, and we should strive for profound results. The reason why people love sports, back to the beginning, the real reason why people love sports, why people are drawn and attracted to sports, is because they want to see something that seems almost impossible. They want to see something that seems almost impossible. They want to see that happen. They want to see something take place. They want to see human beings do something that is almost impossible, like winning a game-winning goal in the men's hockey Olympic championship. It's a moment. It's a moment. You can feel it when you watch it. The hairs stand up on the back of your neck. There's almost a supernatural euphoria that comes over you because you've witnessed something that is so, improbable. It can only be quantified as a miracle. That's our best way to sort of categorize, even though it's kind of false in that sense that it's not a miracle. But the reason is that we love sports, and part of the reason why we play sports and we yearn for a competition that can bring us those type of moments. Some would say it's because we've lost the potential, the probability, the spiritual footing to witness real miracles in our everyday life, divine miracles. So we supplement them through sports. President Trump almost shot, almost had his head blown off. Goosebumps. I still remember where I was when I saw it. Goosebumps. The hair stood up on the back of my neck. Thought we may be going to civil war then. And I think if President Trump had been shot and killed that day, you'd see some quasi-civil war skirmishes. God had better plans for us. God saw a better route. A reprieve. We better remember that. We get so lost in the next day's news, we lose sight of all of the important and iconic moments. And that's the point I was making about the USA men's hockey team winning today. An iconic moment. We must remember the history, not get lost in it, but remember it. Remember it for its important touch points, especially as we move forward. Never forget, the president was almost shot in the head. He survived it. God reached a divine intervention. Charlie Kirk wasn't so lucky.
There's people out there say, oh, President Trump's assassination was a, you know, was a fake. Charlie Kirk's assassination is a fake. I mean, hey, if you know, are they faking the information? Is the investigation a fake? Is are there things we're not being told? For sure. Is Charlie Kirk dead? I believe so. Do aliens exist? I don't know. Did four bullets go past President Trump's head? I'm pretty confident. And if that's the case, did God reach his hand down on society and save us from a very violent and suffering outcome, suffering scenario of suffering? I would say so. And I would say we show a deep lack of gratitude, all things considered. Deep, deep lack of gratitude. Need I say gratitude is at the beginning of grace? So let's pray that the political process turns out better. That the Minnesota Republicans see the value in not endorsing or nominating an NFL sideline reporter who openly talks about pro-choice. And I'm going to run the Michelle Tafoya clip. There in the production room, there's a Michelle Tafoya clip I'm going to send you guys here at the break, and I want you to get it ready for the audience. There's an arrogance. There's a flippantness about some of these political wedge issues that you can just feel on a person when they're talking. You can tell when a person isn't genuine these days. More and more, I'm starting to be able to give a person a once over and, not genuine. Something ain't right. It's like the Afro, the virtue signal Afro. Something ain't right. I don't like his disposition. You got a funky disposition. Under better times, be a little bit more lenient. When we're at war and the future of our nation hangs in the balance, a little more strict on the guidelines. Got to come together as a nation now. Have to come together as a nation. Have to find a way to muscle through the propaganda and the polarization, I'm sorry, and come together. Come together. Unite. Not under false auspices. Not sing kumbaya. Not the happy talk. But the real, rigorous, intellectual, evolution that we need. The ideas. Fundamentals first. Back to the basics. We got to have a border. Anybody who says that we shouldn't have a border is a traitor. Anybody who says that we shouldn't have a border doesn't deserve their freedom, or certainly the false security they've traded it for. You're watching at the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live. This is InfoWars. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Got you for another half hour. We'll talk about the SCOTUS decision. Hope you're enjoying the show. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
All right, I'm going to be very clear about this. I've done an hour and a half of live broadcasts and have not plugged one time. You're not going to get economic, cultural, military, spiritual analysis like this anywhere else. It's not a power trip. I've been blessed by God with the best crew, the best guests, the best intel. But it's up to you to boost this information. All I ask is that you share the live feeds, you share the articles. We get shut down early next month, which is, I haven't made the announcement yet, but this is it. God keeps coming through with miracles, but it just looks like it. You'll see major movement soon. I'll just stop there. It's okay. But I'm asking all of you that have been on the fence, you share articles, videos, wonderful, keep doing it. I thank you, humbly. I'm not mad you never supported us financially, but the products are great. I'm asking everyone to do one thing. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and one click become a VIP for $30 a month. Now, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, everything gets a discount when you do that. It's just like Amazon Prime. But let's just say you don't want ultramethylene blue or Shilajit or Irish Chemos or bovine colostrum. That's so incredible. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. Maybe you don't want to get any of the great Patriot t-shirts. Just be a VIP every month
a donation of $30 to our sponsor, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Backup Network and the site. There's all sorts of behind-the-scenes attacking them. They're big boys, too. You know, Nate was pardoned by the president for trying to save a woman on J6. He did save her. But, I mean, these are patriots. Just go to the site, upper right-hand corner, VIP Club. Just commit. You can cancel any time, so it's not much of a commitment. But each month you charge $30 on the first day of the month. Just be a VIP. Pledge to us $30 a month. You've got NPR, PBS getting billions of dollars a year from the feds and then begging constantly for your money to shovel communism and pedophilic garbage on you. We just sell you the very best supplements you've ever seen, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, badass knives, and we're swinging for the fences. I'm totally committed. I've given up 95% of my assets, which weren't ever that big. I could care less. Actually, I'm actually happier not having a few things to deal with. But the point is that we're now up against the wall. So I need you to simply become a VIP. And then you got a bad month, whatever the issue is, cancel. And then you get more money in a few months. You'll say you're like blue collar, whatever, hardworking person, totally respectable, the bedrock of this country, $30 a month. You get a little bit of problem, cancel. It's free. And then a few months later, things are going well again, become a VIP again. But for all you middle class people and all you wealthy people that aren't investing in the fight against the tyrants, you are crazy. All of you that have means should be a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com. It's just a $30 donation. If you don't want to spend the $40 you get to buy great products and just want to let it, you can be a member and just pile up $40 each month. And at the end of the year, what's 12 months? You know, you spend X and then gotten way more in and then, you know, do all your Christmas shopping. I don't care how you do it. I'm just saying, become a VIP. One click. Hit one button. I'm an attack dog, folks. I'm born for this. I'm bred for this. I love this. I'm fearless other than failure. I have no fear. All I'm saying is please become a VIP right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That's the simple commitment. VIP. 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 And that's the term they use for it. I would call it Paul Revere Fund. I would call it tip of the spear. There's nowhere you can support where you're getting bigger results against the enemy. Bang for the buck. And it's just true. I'm not bragging. I'm very humble. I am your weapon. I am committed to you like a dog is to its owner. I mean, it's true. I am your servant. I am here to defend you and defend your family and defend your freedom because I'm defending mine as well, and we're all in this together. You understand? I am so committed to you at the very base of my soul. And I just simply want to see you awaken in the InfoWar. And there's nowhere better with one simple move than being a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com.
Abortion, stupid. You know the old phrase, it's the economy, stupid, about what drives elections, what drives voters? Well, right now it might be it's the border, stupid. But in 2022, it was abortion. In the wake of Roe v. Wade being struck down by the Supreme Court, everyone went crazy. Hair was on fire. They're going to ban abortion. And some people threatened to ban abortion. Here in my home state of Minnesota, one of the guys running for governor said, we're going to ban abortion. Dumb. Dumb, 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 dumb. Just stupid. Republicans, if they want to win anything in the future, better get their messaging right on abortion. Because guess what? Pro-lifers aren't going to suddenly vote Democrat if the Republicans get a little more liberal on abortion.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen, the buried lead straight to you from the D.C. swamp. Another creature from the swamp. And they just all have the same sort of disingenuous disposition, don't they? It's abortion, stupid. It's abortion, stupid. You all are stupid for holding the line on a fundamental Christian sort of moral issue. It's abortion, stupid. No nuance, no explanation, just you know, unabashedly anti-Christian. And you know that has overwhelmingly been what we've seen as the remedy as David Frum put it, and again, I always recommend people go back and watch the 2016 Monk debate between Steve Bannon and David Frum in Toronto. And in the beginning of that argument, David Frum opens up by saying, one of the most shocking things I think I've ever heard in my entire life. He said, the point of conservatism is to conserve what is the best of liberalism. I thought to myself, holy cow, that's the buried lead, isn't that? I mean, that's the quiet part out loud. The point of conservatism was to conserve what is the best of liberalism. Tells us exactly how we got to where we are today, where Michelle Tafoya comes from, the Bush, McConnell, DC, conservative cabal. Yeah, I mean, hey, proceed. Make your choice and live with your decision. You know, I come on here every Sunday evening and will continue to as long as Alex Jones allows it. And I don't have any notes here. I don't need any notes. Just am who I am. I am who I am. I don't really need a co-signature. I'm not looking for one. That's why you only see me in select places. I don't grovel. I don't beg people to be on their platform. If I get a chance, I go on and I say what I think it is. And you know, sometimes, oftentimes you get good feedback and a good response. I hope you're enjoying the show this evening. But the signal goes out. Says, stay away from that Negro. That Negro there, whew, he's going to bring it. He's going to bring it every time. He's going to put it right in your face. All signal, no noise. The referendum of the entire American Christian community is in the wake of Charlie Kirk's brutal assassination. Will we hitch our wagon to a pro-choice sideline puppet? A pro-choice sideline puppet in pursuit of political victory. Will we forsake the moral and ethical considerations in pursuit of political victory? Make your choice and live with your decision. I guarantee it has consequences. Sometimes they're immediate, sometimes unintended, sometimes unforeseeable. Sometimes they go unacknowledged. Sometimes you don't realize the consequences until much further down the road. Spiritual really works in that way. The spiritual consequences, the spiritual ramifications are usually delayed. You think it's by accident that Mitch McConnell's lost his mind? That Mitch McConnell's lost his cognitive function. It's the same thing we saw with Joe Biden. It's the same thing we see with all these people whose souls have been sold, ripped apart and sewn back together again to stand up there as puppets. And I'm not saying everybody who suffers from dementia, suffers from a spiritual crisis. But what I am saying is there are a ton of people who don't see the link between the breakdown of cognitive function and the fracturing of their mind, by way of the spiritual. There are plenty of people who do not even remotely give that enough credence. You're Satanist. Money is your God. Power is your God. Social status is your God. The lie becomes your God. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time before you break at the seams. Especially in your older age. Cautionary tale to you boomers out there. Everybody's day is coming. Bunch of middle-aged white men in Minnesota, bunch of conservatives, have Michelle Tafoya rolled out. And you're all clapping like seals. Why? Because you would like to get laid by her in your 20-year-ago pipe, you know, your 20-year-ago wet dreams. You're pathetic. You're pathetic. You're overweight. You're overweight. You're doubtful. You're half-cocked Christians. And you prove it. You're half-cocked Christians. You're half-cocked conservatives. And you prove it when a Michelle Tafoya gets wheeled out by Mitch McConnell and his band of running dogs, and you all have a premature ejaculation. And they'll say that's, you know, that's too vulgar. That's not Christian enough, Royce. So you're not a palatable or likable candidate. I like that. I like that. I like being that guy. That's why I started at 34. Because maybe it takes you another 4 years. Maybe it takes you another 8 years. Maybe it takes you another 20. And right about the time you're ready for a real patriot to lead this nation back to prosperity, I'll be 54 years old. Still in my prime. Still strong. They don't kill me first. Because I tell the truth. Michelle Tafoya, just blows my mind that this is even a real situation that I'm living in. It's like the Truman Show. You feel me? It's weird. It's a strange thing to live through. But there are a bunch of strangities. There are a bunch of strange things going on here in our society. So I'm not shocked, but nevertheless, I'm still surprised. What in the world am I? What am I involved in here? Michelle Tafoya? Hi, I'm Michelle Tafoya, sideline reporter. Here's a real athlete, and I'm going to go to as some type of, you know, a brief intermission of the play, the real competition, to bring you some fluffy sideline fixture of the entire spectacle. It's like, in what world? I could do without the sideline commentary. I don't even like the sideline commentary. I don't even like sideline commentators. I don't even think they're a real part of the game. I'm an athlete. It's like when I grab a rebound through traffic in the paint with five other grown men, full grown, very, very exceptionally sized grown men. Pause. It's a little bit crazy. Strong men. And I find a way to muscle through nine other grown men and grab a rebound. I smack the ball. And I get my head up the court, and I'm pushing that ball down the court. I'm pushing that ball up the court, down the court. And I make a quick move in real time, a quick adjustment, a quick reaction in real time. Crossover, behind the back, spin, whatever it is, in and out. Sometimes you just got to plow right through a person's face. Evade another defender. Fake a pass, go up and dunk the ball. With two hands, and you had that visceral animalistic scream, because the ref, despite your aggression and your physical imposing will, he still saw that the contact made interfered with the progress of the movement and the play, gives you a foul, you get the and one, and you let out that visceral scream. When you see that guy, that's a fucking dude. Which is why they want to put them all in dresses. Which is why the same people like Michelle Tafoya who want to puppet the pro-choice political cultural wedge issue are the same sort of suburban white liberal women that get their own sort of premature ejaculation every time they see a strong alpha masculine man make an incredible human feat of physical prowess. They love putting that guy in a dress. They get off on it. Conservative men who like their women with strong masculine voices, you should be ashamed of yourself. You deserve our shame. You Tafoyaites out there. You deserve our criticism and our shame. Love you, a moderate milk toast woman with, it's almost like you like being dominated by them. I think that's what it is. Weak men love being dominated by women. It's what it is. It's why you like Nikki Haley. Some of you like Nikki Haley because she's like a strong, you know, she's like a strong woman who will tell you off. She'll like check you. It's like, you're not checking me. Sorry, Nikki. Sorry, Nikki Haley. Sorry, Michelle Tafoya. And they're the same person, by the way. Same vertical. Same Republican donor money. If you didn't know, now you know. Same exact special interest and lobby money. Same verticals. Maybe different, but same. You know, different, but same. Same, same. They're the same. Michelle Tafoya is the Minnesota version of Nikki Haley. Although Nikki's smart, Nikki at least is smart enough to realize, or at least even out of her own political expediency, she realizes that she can't have a pro-choice platform in South Carolina. They're smart enough to iron that part out, at least. In Minnesota, I mean, they're just going full-blown identity politics on you. It's an embarrassment. And if there's any other shining example of the real schism of moral clarity and philosophy in the conservative movement, look no further than the United States Supreme Court. Boy, take a deep breath here. United States Supreme Court rules against the tariffs. If we can't get the United States Supreme Court to support the tariffs, which like Chief Justice, Justice Clarence Thomas stated so eloquently, the power of tariffs has been in the hands of the president since the 1970s for generations. Almost 50 years, people forget, because the 70s is considered one of the golden eras of American history. I think everybody feels like the 70s was just yesterday. Then no matter what era or decade we're in, it always feels like the 70s was just yesterday, because it was the golden era of America in many ways, many respects, at least from a cultural standpoint. Because we come out of the civil rights era and there seemed to be a brief moment of racial harmony. You know, America was, you know, large and in charge economically. So the 70s always feels like it was just yesterday, but it was really 50 years ago, guys. 50 years. Also because the boomers make up such a predominant demographic in our country. Another reason why the 70s feels like it was just yesterday, but it was 50 years ago. Meaning the power of tariff power being in the president's hands has been in the president's hands, given to him by Congress for half a century. Half a century, guys. If we're having problems calling the balls and strikes on tariffs, imagine when we get to the security of our elections. Full-blown constitutional crisis is on the horizon. Full-blown constitutional crisis. It's going to make immigration enforcement look like a beautiful day in the park. What an embarrassment. What an embarrassment that the Supreme Court would make such a ruling. Shocking, but not surprising. And they'll hit you with the intellectual bona fides and gravitas, and everybody's credentialized, and we have a nation ruled by lawyers. Like I said last week, and I believe that the fundamental difference between us and our national mortal enemy, the Chinese Communist Party, is not our economic philosophy. No, because at the highest level, crony capitalism and communism works effectively the same way. The fundamental difference between us and the Chinese Communist Party is A, they believe the government should be the highest authority of the society. We believe that the rugged individualist, the sovereign individual in a republic, is the highest form of society, the highest authority in society, only transcended by God himself. And the intersection of clarity, moral clarity, where humans try to integrate faith and divine favor into our governance and politics. Our governance, our politics is the gap that we intentionally leave open to aim ourselves and point ourselves toward God. Intentionally, we leave it open. Now, some in this country don't believe in that sort of thing, which is why we're losing a war from within, from our own United States Supreme Court, where they're more impressed with their interpretation of jurisprudence than they are the prosperity and well-being of the American people. They are willing to let this country die, let this country crash and burn, if they get to uphold their own esoteric interpretation of the law. Which is a miscarriage of the law, by the way. It actually is a miscarriage of the law. And it's not lost on me, and it shouldn't be lost on you either, that special interests and lobbies work within the judiciary as well. That's why George Soros funded so many district attorneys and judges. And by the way, they all come from the law schools that have been liberalized over the same 50 year time period. And they tend to lean liberal, just like David Frum said. The point of the conservative movement is to conserve what is the best of liberalism. They're just a bunch of liberal attorneys when push comes to shove. And the reason why Clarence Thomas, Justice Thomas, is always holding the line is because there's something about a black conservative that even rejects the sort of milquetoast moderate conservatism of these middle white American rhinos. I know you're not going to like that. Don't make it about race, Royce. Don't make it about race. There's a reason why Alito and Clarence Thomas, and you could even throw Kavanaugh in there, who came through a rough, rough Me Too attack in his confirmation process. He's got a chip on his shoulder too, because the dividing line is clear. These dudes understand they're real dudes. Again, back to my initial point. They're proving it. They're dudes. They're real dudes. They understand the crisis that we're currently in. If money is your guiding principle and you don't view your economy, your trade policy, your economic policy as a fundamental pillar of national security, you don't even deserve to call yourself an officer of the court, much less a Supreme Court justice. It's embarrassing. We need term limits on the Supreme Court. Term limits on the Supreme Court. I expect I'll get a heavy dose of lawfare brought down on me from some place of this high court of high priests. Oh, my goodness. Supreme Court. Don't drop the sword of Damocles on me. Oh, high priests. Fuck you, people. You're bullshit legalese. I don't like legalese. I don't like Chinese. I don't like Portuguese. I don't like legalese. Some good old-fashioned Americanism in this country. It's what we need at all levels. Nation ruled by lawyers. We're a nation ruled by globalist lawyers versus a nation ruled by ethno-nationalist engineers. And that's fine, because the founding of this country was a legal framework and founding. So we do place an emphasis on the rule of law, and there is nothing wrong with that. In fact, our founding fathers were brilliant in that the thought process, the consideration, the curiosity of legal interpretation, and the gap again between God and righteousness, something that's sort of esoteric and hard to really pin down and quantify, and the ambition to govern from a righteous standpoint lends something to a society and a culture in the same way that capitalism, a free market, in the same way that capitalism and let's say independent entrepreneurship lends to innovation. There's something to be said for that gap that we leave. But then we have to emphasize teaching our young people, our students, the fundamentals of how to think critically, the importance of the human curiosity, and most importantly, the aim of moral and righteous ethics. Ethics, then institutions. We've lost that. We've lost that. And you can make an argument. You could make a real argument that in a face-off between a nation ruled by ethno-nationalist engineers and a nation ruled by globalist lawyers, we're already at a strategic disadvantage. Even if we had nationalist lawyers, even that would be maybe a strategic disadvantage in the material world against ethno-nationalist engineers. But you are almost certainly doomed if the high priests of your society are more globalist in their worldview, in their political philosophy, in their spirit, versus an ethno-national country who is ruled by ethno-national engineers. Ruled by engineers versus ruled by lawyers. The number one takeaway from the show this evening, this Sunday evening. The fundamental difference, the Achilles heel of our nation in a growing, fast approaching conflict with the Chinese Communist Party, is they're a nation ruled by ethno-national engineers, and we're a nation ruled by globalist attorneys, lawyers. Where is your sacred honor? Where is your sacred honor? It's been another Sunday evening, Sunday Night Live, The Alex Jones Show. Thanks for being here. I appreciate your listenership and viewership today and in the future. God bless you. God bless America. Tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central. Tune in on Rumble, the White House, Free People Radio. Thank you.
Today and tomorrow, the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. It only happens every few months where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time, it's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, because is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. Notice everybody else copied it, which is cool. I just go, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. And it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or InfoWars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever, hey, patriots know. And it's just exciting, spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, it's a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, become a VIP for $30 a month. You can cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for $30, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, top everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel any time for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. Don't want to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel any time. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach the people, and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guests straight ahead.